Senator Mizell, welcome back to Talk 107.3. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm great. I'm headed back to Baton Rouge right now, so thanks for scheduling me.
No, glad to have you on. Glad to catch up here. You're looking at your list of bills. You've got a batting average this session that would put you on any all-star team out there. You got a lot of Jeff Landry's autograph going on this session.
Yeah, it's really nice to have a governor that wants to sign my bill.
Right? I mean, he signed them quite a few times. Okay, I want to talk about three of them here, and if we need to break down more at a later time, we'll get you back on later in the summer. But obviously, we got to start with 494, talk about economic development. We talked with Secretary Bourgeois about this last week, but want to pick your brain as the author of the bill there. What went into the crafting of this bill? What went into the feedback you got along the way in making this pushing this legislation forward?
I think some of the most interesting part of the background was what Secretary Bourgeois' department had done prior to the drafting of the bill. They had sought advice from all the states around us that have the successful economic development programs going that we all envy the results we see when we drive down the interstate, whether we're going to Alabama or North Carolina or Virginia. So we had some amazing testimony at the committee table from experts who have seen the results in doing what we put in that bill that would allow our economic development people to do. So I think we've made a stride in a direction that before we had no idea that was the way we needed to go. We knew something was tremendously lacking because the frustration in what's happening everywhere but Louisiana has been just sickening. Every time I come back from a conference and the other legislators are talking about all the winning projects they've gotten, and we come back and, you know, I would hear about a call center, and it's like, my goodness, we were just in a time warp. So I think all that background and proven results really went into that bill, and I'm so excited for the possibility.
Oftentimes when you see a bill get a stack of amendments, it waters down the bill. In reading through this one, it looks like every amendment that got added just added to the collaboration.
Well, you know, I think there was some concern just in the general outline of the bill. Oh, we're giving them the power to kind of speed up procurement. We're giving them the power to appoint this almost a private group, quasi government group, the commission. And I think there was a little concern about that. But like I said, when you hear the testimony on what other states have done that follow that pattern, I told Secretary Bourgeois we could have put a communist on her board and people were going to vote for it because they were so ready to endorse what she was bringing about. So, yeah, there was a lot of enthusiasm when people were ready to vote for that.
We're talking with State Senator Beth Mizell about a few of the bills that she got pushed through this recent legislative session. I think this one's probably going to have the longest standing results and probably the biggest effect on the state overall.
It's a game changer, Brian.
No, absolutely. But it only sets up more work on other fronts as well. We sell and how quickly we sell is one thing. What we're selling is got to change next. So is that where you're going next? Is that what you're attacking next?
Well, I don't know about that attacking. I don't know, but I think, you know, there's a lot of frustration. You know, like you said, I had a lot of bills, and I tried to address concerns in various places that I was aware of. But when I get back to my office, people just care about insurance.
100%.
And it's like I remember going to a town hall when I was running last term, and I could talk about all these different concerns with crime or education. But people just cared about the fact they did not have broadband and they were sick of it. And this is where we are with insurance. If we don't seriously address the insurance concerns, we're going to keep losing people in spite of all this other window dressing we're doing. So that's going to be the challenge. You know, we couldn't get it as much done this session as we had hoped, but it's hard to take calls and hear the frustration of people in my district.
State Senator Beth Mizell is with us for just a couple more minutes. Senator Mizell, I got to pivot completely to a completely different topic, a different bill that you had out there. It was SB 439, also signed off on by the governor. Walk me through a little bit about what this does with requiring the Council on Peace Officer Standards and Training to develop continuously updated trauma-informed training materials for domestic violence and a number of other situations. What brought this about? What brought this to your attention?
Wow, I'm glad you noticed that, Brian. That came about because there was a task force on human trafficking arrests, which was really the lack thereof. We don't arrest traffickers. When I was doing trafficking bills last session, I would get the number of victims from DCFS or different other groups that work with victims, and it would be like 600 victims. I mean, child victims of trafficking. And I'm like, but I never see a trafficker arrested. Why? How can we have so many victims and no traffickers? And I had a task force to bring all the stakeholders in, and it pretty much came down to the fact that law enforcement is not trained specifically to see a trafficker in a given situation. They may see the drugs involved. They may see the money, the piles of money or whatever, but they're not putting all the parts together to arrive at a trafficking crime. So that training is to help them understand when they see a victim, okay, she's not a prostitute, she's being held captive. So they're able to, the trauma-informed training basically lets them have an awareness of these victims and what's going on that they have not had before.
Basically diagnosing trafficking as compared to other crimes when you're on the scene.
Recognizing the victim. Right.
Well, and I know here in Baton Rouge, we are notorious as a hotspot, as are a number of other locations throughout Louisiana. How long does implementation on something like this take to get our folks, to get our law enforcement officers trained up to where they'll be able to implement your bill out in the, out in the real world?
I'm hoping it's quick. I mean, we've got some great people doing the training. They're very schooled in what those requirements are. I know Texas has done some tremendous things. The Texas Highway Patrol came and trained our state police. So I think the state police have it down. It's the locals and the parish law enforcement that really, I think they're just not aware. And we're seeing it, if you saw the headlines this past weekend, it was a horror story coming out of Tangipahoa.
Yep.
And that's, I don't know how long that's been going on before there was an awareness of what was happening.
Well, no, and what they found in Jackson, Mississippi was just,
right.
Cages in the house. And yeah, that story right there really brings the bill like yours to light in saying, oh, yes, this is what we see, this is what we can diagnose, and this is what we can base our charges on. Come August 1st, every law enforcement agency that's out there is going to be on the ball with it. Got to get you back on very, very soon. I know it was a short segment, but you got a lot of work done, so we'll continue to follow up with State Senator Beth Mizell. We'll talk to you within the next week or so to get the rest of it.
Take care, Brian. Thank you. Have a good day.
You do the same. You too.